am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message, and this message alone, is the power of God that unleashes salvation, and that is our greatest need, my friends, salvation. This message releases the power of God to save people. And it's supposed to go to the Jewish people first, but also to everyone else. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live from the studios of Faith Talk 1500. And I have a couple of guests with me today, some friends of mine, Sean and Crystal Buckhalter. Both of them are Messianic Jewish believers. And we're going to hear from Sean and Crystal, hear their story about how Jesus made them kosher. Sean, let's start with you. You're a nice Jewish guy. How did Messiah reveal himself to you? How did Jesus make you kosher?
Well, I grew up in probably a typical secular Jewish home in Brooklyn, New York. And the way I like to put it is, in my household, God was irrelevant. It wasn't that he didn't exist. I grew up with a very strong sense of ethics and a very strong sense of the existence of God, but the idea of a moral, personal God, a God that could influence and impact your life, was something that we did not talk about or discuss as a family.
So God was, the idea of God was there, but he wasn't the kind of God that was really active and could intervene and you could get to know.
Exactly. And so, you know, as any typical individual, as a teenager, tries to basically fulfill their life in a way that they think that can bring satisfaction and happiness to them. And I did that through what a lot of teenagers do in high school and college, which was partying and girls and the hope of making lots of money. And eventually, when I got to college, I began to ask myself, if I received everything that my heart desired, everything that I was going after, if I was able to date the prettiest girls and marry that ideal wife, I was able to find that, you know, really prosperous job and that dynamic career that I was after, would I be happy? And I concluded that no, I probably wouldn't be. And that led me on my first real, true spiritual journey.
And you came to that realization while you were in college, that even if you had everything that the world had to offer, it wouldn't be enough. There would still, you thought, be something missing.
Yeah, I was a very introspective young man, and so I came to that conclusion very strongly. And like I said, I began my spiritual journey, and at that point, Jesus was far from my radar. However, but through a process of events, I wound up transferring schools. I was going to a state college in New York, and I transferred schools to Charlotte, North Carolina, kind of in the middle of the Southern Bible Belt, only to discover that every single person I kept interacting with happened to be a Christian. And I never even heard of the term Christian growing up. I vaguely remember hearing it, but where I grew up, you were either Jewish or Catholic, and here were these group of people that weren't either, and I didn't quite understand exactly what they believed. And eventually, what wound up happening is there was this one really pretty-looking blonde girl that I wanted to pursue a dating relationship with, and she would not date me because I was not a follower of Jesus. But she continued to just talk with me, and we began this kind of friendship. I always wanted more, obviously. But eventually, at some point, she invited me to an outreach that was taking place at my university campus. And that's where I actually heard the gospel message of the Messiah Yeshua for the very first time.
And when you heard this gospel message, and the word gospel means good news about the Messiah coming and making reconciliation with God possible, atonement possible, eternal life possible. When you first heard this message, what was your initial response to it?
My first message was, I was actually blown away. I was blown away when I understood that God was not interested in me coming to him perfect. He wasn't interested in me coming to him with my life together. But the fact is, he wanted me to come to him in my brokenness, and that through the death and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus, I could not only be forgiven, but his very spirit, the very presence of God would come and fill me, and he would be the one to transform my life.
What did you find attractive about that or interesting about that?
Well, at this point in my journey towards trying to find some type of deeper meaning and spirituality in my life, I had realized that no matter how much I might try to attempt to change my outward behavior, how much I might really try to become that person that I really longed to become inside, that I could not change who I was at my core. And I began to despair at some points and wondering that no matter what I did, I still had this not only this brokenness but this delight and things that I really didn't care for, that I knew were going to be fulfilling.
So you sensed your own humanity, that you're part of a fallen species, that reaching perfection would be impossible in this life. And you heard that the gospel, you know, what God was demanding was not that you fix yourself before coming to him, but you come as you are, and you found that very attractive and liberating.
I did. That is actually what drew me to, for the first time, consider whether this person named Yeshua, Jesus, was actually who he claimed to be in the New Testament.
And how did you come to understand that Jesus really is the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world? What convinced you?
What really convinced me was just the reality that of all the things that I understood about life, again, about my own humanity, about the world, and hearing the biblical perspective of sin, of the need of a savior, need of someone to atone for my sins, I just knew in my heart was correct through my experience of trying to seek after God.
So you're understanding that the biblical worldview, that we are part of a fallen species, we live in a broken universe, we can't fix ourselves sufficiently or do enough for ourselves, and that God sent this wonderful Jewish man, the Messiah, it all suddenly made sense to you.
It did. It was an amazing discovery that I did not expect, and my life was transformed immediately.
Well, I would like to hear a little bit more about how your life was transformed in a minute. Let's go to your lovely wife, Crystal. Crystal is a nice Jewish girl from the Metro Detroit area. Crystal, give us your story. How did Jesus make you kosher?
Well, I grew up in a family that was somewhat similar to Sean's. You know, God was somewhat part of the equation, but not really in a personal sense. But growing up hearing, you know, the stories of the prophets, of Noah and Daniel and, you know, David and all of that, you know, Jewish culture and ethnicity and what we came from. And, you know, my family was in the Warsaw Ghetto and they died, you know, so you have this strong sense of Jewish identity. And so that was very important to my family. So I got Judaism in that sense. But as I connected with these stories I was hearing of the biblical ancestors, I really started to connect with them even as far back as I can remember, maybe 5 years old. And I wanted to model my life after these people. And so I actually started going to Hebrew school, you know, when I was 8 at local Temple Israel. I absolutely loved Temple Israel. It was a great Hebrew school experience for me and the kids' choir and everything. And I really thought that I was on the path to being a leader of the Jewish community in the biblical sense.
What do you mean in the biblical sense?
In the biblical sense, like a prophet in a way. I wouldn't have called myself the word prophet, but I wanted to be that kind of leader of the Jewish community. I saw being a leader in the Jewish community as being, you know, a voice for God, a voice pointing people to God. I wanted to be that kind of person that could draw people to God because I felt this strong connection and drawing to God even from, you know, like I said, I'd sit on my bed at night and I would have these conversations with him when I was just a little kid. And I as much as a child can have, you know, that innocence, you know, maybe you don't know very much, but I loved God and I wanted other people to love God. And I thought, being a leader in the Jewish community, you know, I could also maybe even have an impact on the world. Isn't that what we all want, to have a positive impact on the world? And I saw that, being that, as being a leader in the Jewish community. And so as I was in Hebrew school, I thought, this is fantastic. I'm excelling in Hebrew school, and I'm, you know, I found out that I could actually sing. You know, it wasn't just fun. I actually had a gift for it. And I started singing occasionally, actually, with Cantor Orbach, who I had a great relationship with. And, you know, I thought it was fantastic because I thought, hey, this is the way to become a leader of the Jewish community. Cantor Orbach started talking to me about becoming a cantor someday myself, and I thought it was a great idea. What better way to influence the Jewish community than to use the gifts God's given me in music, which is so powerful. And I loved the liturgical Jewish music I grew up with. I found it very moving spiritually, and I found God in it. The words are all the words of the Lord himself. And so I thought, you know, here I'm going to be a cantor and I'm going to be a leader in the Jewish community and have an impact on the world. And interestingly enough, around the time I had my bat mitzvah, my father became a believer in Yeshua through the influence of the Promise Keepers movement right here in the Pontiac Silverdome. And, you know, I thought it was great because, you know, my dad wasn't Jewish and he'd had kind of a nominal relationship with the Lord before that, but not really a deep life-changing impact. And I saw his life start to change and I started hearing about God a lot more from him. And that impacted me, you know, but I was Jewish and I was going to be a leader of the Jewish community, so it didn't really work for me. Then my little brother, you know, had his bar mitzvah, but then he came to believe in Jesus. And I was like, you know, okay, well, he was never really, you know, he was never as good of a Jew as I, you know, we like to say, you know, who's the better Jew. But so I thought, you know, although it's okay for my brother, that's okay. And then like, boom, 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 a year later, you know, my mom started going to a church and not only came to believe in Jesus, but then she wanted to be baptized. And this is my mother who, from as long as I can remember, would talk about our Jewish family history and what our family has survived and how proud I should be to be from this strong Jewish family. And I need to marry a Jewish man and da, da, da. And here she's saying, not only does she believe in Jesus, but she wants to be baptized, which sounds like, that sounded like the most anti-Jewish word to me. But again, you know, I saw a really positive impact in her life. So that was, I think, the first time I really started to wrestle with the idea that, you know, this is a positive thing. I'm Jewish and I'm going to be a leader in the Jewish community, but my mom was so passionate about being Jewish and she still is, but she believes in Jesus. And I don't really know what to do with that. So I just kind of put it on the back burner and kept moving toward the cantorial school thing. And it wasn't until I was later in high school, I was invited to actually a Christian concert. And by then, my family had played so much of this music around me, I thought, you know what, free concert, it might be fun. And that was, for me, the first time I really heard, you know, the good news or the gospel really concisely spelled out for me, that Yeshua, you know, what we hear all the time, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. And they also said, though, what really got me was that they said that was exactly what my Jewish prophets said the Messiah would do. You know, I had heard a bunch of times, Jesus died for your sins, he rose from the dead, da da da, you know, the gospel in a nutshell, so to speak. But to me, it wasn't relevant. There was nothing to think relevant. It's, you know, I had no concept of him being a Jew or for the Jews or anything like that. But when I heard someone say that's what the Jewish prophets said the Messiah of the Jewish people would do, it just clicked for me. And I felt this really overwhelming, peaceful, loving presence, that it was the same presence that I had been talking to since I was a kid. It was familiar to me, but it was so strong that, like, I couldn't help but cry. It was overwhelming.
Crystal, thank you for sharing how Jesus made you kosher. Sean, how has becoming a Messianic Jew, a Jewish believer in Jesus, impacted you in your life?
Well, I'd like to share one little story, because when I first came to believe in Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah, I didn't think it was odd that I was both Jewish and believed in him. For some reason, it just made sense to me. He claimed to be the Messiah of Israel. He was Jewish. I'm Jewish. I believe that he's the Messiah. So the two should just fit. And I say that I was very naive about that, because I came home back to my community, you know, basically telling everyone, oh, about this great news of how I became a believer in the Messiah, Jesus. And my family took it in stride, even though they were not thrilled about it. They kind of composed themselves. But there was one particular occasion that really opened up my eyes to the reality of how our people view us as believers in Messiah Jesus. I was waiting, I was back in Brooklyn, and one of my aunts had had this incredibly important surgery. It was kind of life-threatening surgery that she needed to have. And we all went to the hospital as a family. It was in the middle of Brooklyn in a very, very Orthodox Jewish community. The name of the hospital, in fact, was Maimonides Hospital. And the entire waiting room was filled with all these Orthodox, these Hasidic men. And, you know, having grown up so closely with the Orthodox Jewish community but not being a part of them, I now decided that I really wanted to engage one of these Orthodox men about, you know, what they believe, because now for the first time in my life, I believed that the Hebrew Scriptures were the Word of God. And so I began this very unique and just engaging dialogue with an Orthodox, you know, Jewish man that was there in the waiting room with me. And at some point, he asked the typical question that we all hear at some point is, are you Jewish? And I looked at him and said, yeah, of course I'm Jewish, but I want you to know that I believe in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. And it was the first time that someone actually said, you are an idiot. How can you even consider that he's the Messiah? And he began to tell me of how I should be ashamed of myself, how horrible of a thing I did. And he pointed to my family and said, look at your family. Why'd you do that to them? And I was taken back. I didn't know how to respond, because here was someone I grew up, even though we weren't Orthodox, these are the figures that we admire. These are the people that spend their whole life reading the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. And he was telling me I was an idiot. So I had to ask myself, was he right? And so I kind of went back home and I decided that I wanted to go back and look intently at the Hebrew scriptures and be able to determine if I can be confident that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel.
So what happened? What happened next?
Well, I make a very long story short, is obviously not only did I conclude that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, but it became so apparently obvious that he was, that the Hebrew scriptures just clearly articulate who the Messiah is going to be, the picture of what he's going to look like, and the only person that fulfills that picture is Yeshua, Jesus. And for me, it was the first time that my being a Jew all of a sudden became alive to me. I saw it as being a privilege and honor, and I wanted to, for the first time in my life, really live my life out publicly as a Jew.
When you were going through this self-examination process, you were challenged by this Orthodox Jew that you were wrong about Jesus being the Messiah. How did you go about investigating whether Jesus was the Messiah? What kinds of things were you doing?
Well, I got to be honest with you. The first thing I did was I just opened up Genesis and I just started reading. And I wasn't exactly clear on where I was going to go. But through, you could say, providence or coincidence, I believe providence, I had about a week later met my first other Jewish person that believes in Jesus as the Messiah. And she was the one who really kind of pointed me at some of the messianic prophecies and gave me books to read and of, you know, authors like Moshe Rosen and other prominent other Jewish believers. And that's when all of a sudden it clicked. I actually was pointed in the direction of where to discover the research. And I read some of the, you know, what some of the our Orthodox brothers and sisters have to say about Jesus not being the Messiah. But I was fortunate enough to be pointed in a very clear direction.
So particularly some of the messianic prophecies in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scriptures, like Isaiah 53?
Isaiah 53 was a tremendous prophecy. Just going through where the Messiah had to be born, understanding the lineage that the Messiah had to come from, understanding the history of the temple records being destroyed. It just became more and more apparent, the Messiah being born of a virgin in Isaiah, and just looking over the Hebrew
So you're a Jewish man. You grew up in Brooklyn. You come to faith in Jesus down in North Carolina. It starts making sense about being Jewish and believing in Jesus. You go back to Brooklyn. You're challenged by an Orthodox Jew. You really dig into the Bible. And your sense that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah really strengthened and awakened your Jewish identity. So Jesus really did make you kosher.
Absolutely. I mean, for the first time, not only was I now just celebrating the holidays that I grew up with, but I was embracing the holidays, understanding them for what God intended them to be. Israel just wasn't a place that, oh, my ancestors lived many years ago. It was the place where God ordained his presence to be. It was the place where the prophets walked. It's the place where the apostles walked. I delighted in just being Jewish for the first time.
Crystal, tell us what you're passionate about. You have a heart for the church. You love God's people, but you also want them to have a better understanding of the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. Why?
Well, I could honestly read the whole of Romans 11 as though they were my own words, and I have actually before to people.
Romans 11. Romans, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Romans 11.
Yes, I feel very strongly connected to the Apostle Paul because for some reason, God has just allowed me to connect very much with Gentile believers as much as my heart is for my own people. And Romans 11 talks about that very thing, how, you know, it can be easy for people, especially given the last 2,000 years of history, to think that, you know, the Gentiles that believe in Jesus are God's chosen people now, and he's forgotten about the Jews. He doesn't really need us anymore. But the truth is, God doesn't need any of us, really. He's going to do what he's going to do regardless. And he has chosen the Jewish people to show, through whom to show his glory. And helping Gentile believers understand the roots of their faith is not just going to help them better understand their identity as a believer, but better understand their purpose and calling as believers. I believe it will help unite all believers in Messiah together. And I believe, you know, you can't really understand the Messiah and the Lord's purposes in this world without understanding the Jewish roots of the faith. So through the cantorial music I've grown up with, it's my passion and desire, like Paul's, to see the Gentile believers live up to their calling as making the Jewish people jealous of this wonderful thing that they've found.
Maybe you'll share some of your gift with us Saturday morning at Congregation Shema Yisrael.
That would be great.
When you were living here in the Metro Detroit area, you were sharing your love for Jewish music, and with us, we fondly refer to you as Cantor Crystal.
Yes, some people didn't like that very much.
That's okay. That's okay. I liked it.
I liked it, too.
So maybe you'll sing for us Saturday morning. Well, Passover is coming up. Yes. Are you guys planning on celebrating Passover?
Oh, yes, for sure.
And isn't it amazing to have a Passover Seder celebrating God's deliverance of the Jewish people from the Egyptians, especially by the death of the Passover lamb, and then making the connection to Messiah Jesus, who is our Passover lamb, who actually died on Passover in fulfillment of Passover. Well, we're having two Passover Seders this year. Congregation Shema Yisrael is sponsoring them, April 6th and April 7th. I believe it's a Friday night and a Saturday night. And we're inviting the Christian community to join us in this rich and meaningful celebration that's been going on for 3,500 years. I've heard that the Passover celebration is the longest holiday celebration that has been going on in human history. Mm-hmm. And it is just as meaningful today as it was 3,500 years ago when God brought us out of Egypt. And so if you want to join us for Passover, just go to the Shema website. We have information about the Passover Seder, and love to have you for Passover. And this is Rabbi Lauren saying shalom, shalom from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And Sean, Crystal, thank you so much for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. You did a great job, and I would actually love to have you back sometime to further explore about being Jewish and believing in Jesus.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-888-8888.